Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and with me as always are Nick and Mark.
Hello.
Hi.
We got a great show for you today. We are going to be talking with John Marvin and Ash Law because they have an upcoming Kickstarter for 13th Age under the Dread Unicorn Games umbrella called The Overworld and Beyond. So we're going to talk with them about it, see what we can get information-wise for you guys for the Kickstarter, and ask a couple of questions and dig into it a little bit before it goes live. Well, welcome to John of Dread Unicorn Games and to Ash Law. Welcome back on the show, Ash.
Good to be back.
Thank you. It's great. I love your show.
Excellent. We're always glad to hear that. So, John, you own Dread Unicorn Games. I first became acquainted with your products through your Numenera products, which I loved. But you have a product already out for 13th Age, Gods and Icons. Do you want to talk a little bit about that before we jump into talking about Overworld and Beyond?
Sure. After all, we're using the same icons in the Overworld and Beyond. I love 13th Age. I love the icon relationships. And I keep seeing people post on the internet that they are struggling with the icon relationships. And that is the reason I kind of started working on Gods and Icons. I really grew up an old school D&D where you were tables for everything. So I said, all right, it's old school revolution. We are having a table for everything, for icon relationship roles. And so I created hundreds, but I'm actually don't run my games that way. I'm new school, story driven. So I structure these tables really as suggestions. You know, once you read them, they stick in your mind and hopefully give you something to grab onto when you're struggling for an icon relationship result. And then I thought, well, there's no gods in 13th Age. So let's throw those in. And you probably know, third parties were not allowed to use the core book icons. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about icons, so I needed icons to talk about. So I created those. I made them close enough you can map to the core icons, but hopefully interesting enough that you can use mine. I know some people do use mine. I heard from fans that mix and match. I've got one game master who's really doing a big undead campaign. He's got the Lich King from the core book and Baron von Vorlach from my book. So,
oh, nice.
Undead everywhere.
Undead everywhere. Well, Nick's got a physical copy of the book and I've got it on PDF. And I mean, it's just chock full of information. We'll have to do either another interview or just an iconic look at what's in the book.
Hey, I'd love that.
Well, you have a new Kickstarter coming out.
Yep. Tell us about the Kickstarter.
And if you have any. Just tell us all about it.
Hopefully, this is a live Kickstarter by the time you hear this on the interwebs. We launch on May 1st. Our targeted publish date is September of this year. Love to go early, but I don't want to promise anything.
Right.
It should be live now, so go to Kickstarter.com. Just search for The Overworld and Beyond, and you'll get there. It's got a lot of things. I went to Ash and I said, I really want to bring the planar travel into 13th Age. And I think I'm going to let Ash speak right now about how he did
that. That was perfect for me because for the longest time I've been wanting to do that. I've been chafing at the bit to do that I've been speaking to Rob about that, and Rob was like, well, maybe once we get this other book published, we got some other things in the pipeline, and so when John contacted me, I jumped at the chance to do planar travel, and I've always loved planar travel in games because you get to go to strange new worlds and seek out new civilizations in a fantasy setting. So the chance to write things like The City at the Edge of Dawn, which floats upon this rainbow-colored psychedelic ocean, or to write things like The Middlelands, which are very... So every time somebody throws something away, that's an act of banishment. And even if you're not a wizard, but you live in a magical world, then just that act of throwing away that builds up over time. So this is where all the things that have been thrown away but have been banished either by magic or by mundane means can end up. So it's kind of Mad Max, fancy Mad Max in a junkyard, and the chance to write a dozen worlds, but as crazy as that, a world made of living cancerous flesh, a world made of fire, a world that's just in constant darkness, a world where everything is green and constantly growing, and you have to be careful because it's great because you've got loads of just free healing, and if you take that free healing, you start to become more bestial. It's kind of Island of Dr. Moreau in a planet-wide jungle. It's the chance to write stuff like that is brilliant. Fantastic. But it's also got some things because obviously that's like champion tier and epic tier kind of stuff. So there's also a mini setting, if you will, what we call the Caro Hills, and you can drop that into an existing campaign. So if provided you've got a campaign that has seas and trade routes and hills and woods and towns, then, which more or less everybody has, you can just drop that straight in there. So it's got this tiny crossroads village, this port that's very Lovecraft inspired, and this larger town which is big enough to have a couple of guild houses and some intrigues. It's built near a river crossing, and so there's a lot of story hooks there, a lot of very quick but deep NPCs in that 13th age way, where you can go along and go, oh, this is the NPC's name, this is three or four story hooks that are attached to this NPC. Let me run with it and just slot that straight into your game. But that builds up then from adventurer tier, and you start. My home group is actually playing through this at the moment, and they're starting to go, hold on, why do these weird goblin spiders speak kobold? What's going on with that? Why did that thing disappear over there? That's kind of odd. Oh, we're working for these wizards now, but this wizard vanished in the hills. Let's go investigate that. So it builds up from adventurer tier until you start discovering pathways through to other worlds, and then you become this epic world explorer. And I don't want to give the plot away, but it starts small and builds in a way which any group that starts playing through this will get hooked in and will start naturally exploring strange new worlds. It's fantastic.
You were asking about stretch goals. The first one will be a new class that Ash has already done a lot of work on, the Realm Walker. It looks like an amazingly fun class, teleporting, bouncing all around the battlefield. You want to talk about that, Ash?
Yeah, I'd be more than glad to. In fact, when I wrote this, I sent this to John, and John was like, whoa, slow down.
Oh, no.
usual to wait until stuff's funded till you write the stretch goals. I was just so excited by this class. So I wrote it up, and it was all originally on index cards, sellotaped together, because that's how I do initial class design, just color-coded index cards. And
cool.
I had this on my table one Tuesday night before my players came round, and they came round, and they were like, oh, what's this? Can we play this? So we're currently playtesting our way through that, like extreme playtesting. The entire group decided to create Realm Walkers.
Oh, wow.
So we've now got an entire party of people who are like, what do I do this round? Well, I'm going to teleport myself, then I'll teleport the two of you, and that gives you a plus one, and then I'll force blast this person over here, and then, okay, now your turn. And it's a super fun class to play. You're teleporting about, you're warping space. It's a class that even if you're not planning on traveling to other dimensions, other worlds, other realms, but it's still a really cool and fun class to play that doesn't quite play like anything else that we've seen before.
That sounds amazing.
It is. I enjoy it.
And our second stretch goal will be a third adventure, a life, death, rebirth. And you get to meet the crow god, and I don't think it's going to be a friendly crow god.
No, so. it's
are they ever?
Good. I get to explore some of these other realms a bit deeper in that.
Right. So, and beyond that, I'm thinking of print and play cards you can pass out to give your players information, to give your players more trouble. I think it's fun to just pass something over the table and watch the look on the player's face. If we get to that stretch goal, we also have our print deck as an add-on, but the print and play would be added to everybody that gets the PDF and beyond would get the print and play. And beyond that, I mean, we can continually add adventures and new planes and more detail on the planes we have, as long as we have support to do so.
Well, as a fan of Planescape, I'm very excited about this. This book coming out.
It is very Planescape-y. If you read Michael Moorcock, it's very much like his kind of crazy world. It's pretty exciting. And
yeah, I like the fact that John and I are on the same wavelength. And yeah, I was inspired by Michael Moorcock. I was inspired by Planescape. I mean, the city at the edge of dawn is not the city from Planescape, that big Taurus-shaped city.
Yeah, not Sigil.
But it is very much inspired by it, while still being something completely different. And yeah, right. I was inspired by Michael Moorcock. By Michael Moorcock, by Roger Dean album covers, by 70s prog rock. it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm surprised more settings don't draw inspiration from the Eternal Champion series.
Oh yeah, I loved them. Yeah.
You know, one thing that strikes me if you go on Kickstarter, and I am a total Kickstarter junkie. I think I've supported 150 other people's Kickstarters. 153, I think. That, you know, 5e fans have a ton of products on Kickstarter. They can just go there and find stuff. And I think it's time that 13th Age fans got some love there too. So, you know, I mean, the whole product came out of Kickstarter, and I'd just like to see more people playing 13th Age, more options for them. And I'm really hoping this helps move us in that direction.
Agreed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on a limit for Kickstarter now, I was told.
Yeah. Well, supposedly I am too. But
yeah, one of the great things about 13th Age is just how open-ended it is. You know, they kind of built a generic structure for everything and then let every GM and every table kind of flesh everything out. So it definitely leaves wide open the option for some additional help, some additional products for people to kind of fill in the gaps a little bit. And I know there was a lot of specific things that the book calls out and says there's this whole aspect of the world that we're not going to even talk about. And the overworld was one of those things. But why did you choose to do the overworld and beyond as kind of a supplement instead of maybe some other aspect of the Dragon Empire or 13th Age?
The Dragon Empire is IP, so you can't actually mention that as a third-party publisher. But you can certainly do things that just fit in, like the setting that Ash has created. I have always just enjoyed the over-the-top adventure excitement of planes, of traveling to other worlds, and so that was the first impulse. That's what I wanted to do, and you know, you look at the wizard. I mean, we have things mechanically within 13th Age that kick off when people visit other planes, when they go to the overworld or other planes. And so let's use that. I just really want to step off what they used to call the prime material and travel to some crazier places.
Yeah, the wizard does have that overworld advantage. And as somebody who loves playing wizards, I want more products out there for me when I'm playing.
Right.
Encourage GM to take stuff to the overworld. Yeah, I want to get that overworld advantage. I want to explore weird wizardly awesome other worlds. Yeah.
Yeah, going way back in my roots to the original D&D, that was one of the things of, I'm a paladin. Let's go to one of the layers of hell and fight some things on our home ground. So yeah, that appeals going somewhere else, not just where everything changes.
That picture, right? A paladin in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just got inspired.
So I am a huge fan of demons and devils and kind of the blood war and everything like related to that. Anything like that being touched on in the book, at least as it stands now?
Not yet, but there's always stretch goals.
All right.
So along with the setting, are there going to be any new monsters in the book?
Go ahead, Ash.
So, each of the planes, each of the places that you visit has this book has a little bestiary at the back, with monsters linked to each of the planes. There's a giant frog that considers itself king of all frogs. It's a giant talking frog with all these frog spirits. It's got goblins, which are kobold goblin hybrids, which have a link to spiders and planar travel. Those are going to be showing up a lot and are a great thing to throw at your players, where they're like, wait, what is this again? It's a goblin. I don't know about that. Oh, no, wait, it's not. It's something monstrous and different and surprising. So, each of the realms has like giant trash crabs from the Midlands. There's a plane of flesh which has its own. Well, I don't want to give too much away, but yes, they're
some creatures.
If you want to find out, back to Kickstarter.
That's right, back to Kickstarter.
Yes.
Yeah, I will say that the plane of flesh is wonderfully yucky.
I cannot wait to use it in a game.
It's okay. You can't die there, but you can become part of the landscape there.
That's not the worst thing that could happen.
So I don't know why. I think I know why it's triggering this, but it reminds me a little of Dan Abnett's Cancerverse that he touched on when he was writing the Cosmic Marvel line.
Yes. Exactly. Cancerverse. I mean, it's not exactly that, but that was in the back of my mind.
Excellent.
While I was writing.
Yeah. That is a good inspiration.
So you've touched on a little bit why this product might be really good for like some wizards or classes or a campaign that has direct ties into the overworld. What might the book have for GMs and players that maybe don't have the overworld so dramatically a part of their campaign?
Well
Carrow Hills. You go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that all the monsters what we've been talking about, we've got new magic items, the new class. You could steal Ash's these wonderful encounters, and you could steal them and reskin them to make them non-planar focused. So there's a lot of excitement, a lot of gameplay in this that you could reskin if you don't want to go to the overworld, but you'd be a bad GM if you don't want to go to the overworld.
That's right. Why wouldn't you want to put your players into those?
Now, do you have any of those, that old school aspect to it with like, tables and those sorts of things to roll on?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. In the Carrow Hills, which is, if you like, the adventurer tier setting, which can be dropped into any existing game, each location has its own table of things that might be happening there, things that do happen. So there's stuff that happens like, oh, you're walking along the trade road, a crow comes down, and steals your hat, flies off into the hills because you rolled a 16. You're like, oh, that's odd. But then later on, when you get into the hills and you're like, that actually meant something. So they're random tables that build towards adventures. They're random tables which help foreshadow things which your GM might want to introduce later down the line. So if a random thing does happen, then this random thing's happened. Well, what does that mean? Or you might decide we need to investigate why these trade caravans are going missing. We need to investigate why the Temple of the Sun in Harrowbridge is acting so strangely. We need to investigate the claims of this man who's staying at this tavern. He's saying some odd stuff to us. There's a ton of tables, which you can ignore if you're a GM who doesn't like tables, or if you if you're like, oh, well, the players are at the tavern and I don't really know what to do, well, I'll just roll on a couple of these tables and, oh, look, there's an adventure which just springs from some random encounters that the players have, which turn out actually to not be quite as random as perhaps they thought.
Right. I'd like to add that these tables are different depending on where you are in the Carrow Hills. So Ash has three different towns and they really all have a different feeling. And I think those tables, even if you don't roll on them, just going over those tables will help you as a game master bring alive the different towns. So the players will understand that they're in different places. They're not Shriveport, Harrowbridge, and Shank are not all the same, are not cut out of the same cloth. They're all different.
Yep. Did you say Shank?
Shank.
Shank. I want to go there.
You do want to go there.
So I know this may be like choosing between a favorite child. I know you're excited, obviously, about the whole book as you're bringing it to Kickstarter and, you know, hope to, we all three of us hope to seeing it funded and all of the stretch goals we've talked about. But if you had to pick one thing that you're most excited about, what would that be?
You go first. Go ahead.
Okay, I think the thing I'm most excited about is the final battle on the Sky Disc. I can't say any more about that without giving away anything. But yeah, there's a final battle which is, yeah, I'm looking forward to, because my players are playing through this adventure at the moment. I'm looking forward to that.
So to our future listeners who are experiencing this interview through the magic of podcasting and you hold the book in your hands, just flip right there right now and look at that.
And I have to go back to the plane of flesh.
You're excited by the sweat dripping walls of skin and the,
so disgusting.
Oh no, we have to investigate this crevice.
No. No.
it's a plane that's as, oh, I mean, you'd never run out of food because the whole thing's made of meat, but
that's right.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant place to visit.
Is there a table if you start eating on that plane to see what happens?
There are things that happen on that plane. Again, I don't want to give away, but there are downsides to, obviously each of the planes has its own unique hazards. So obviously, you know, if you're visiting the plane of fire, you might get burned. Well, if you're visiting the plane of flesh, well, that's going to have equally bad hazards, but perhaps ones which are immediately obvious.
Well, excellent. Well, I know this interview is focused primarily on the Kickstarter, but any hints or any other projects that we may see 13th Age related coming out of Dread Unicorn Games?
Well, we'd always like to have more products out there for 13th Age. I've been kicking around a collection of 10 one-shots, one for each level. You know the 10-session campaign variant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought you could use these for that, or you've got 10 one-shots, one of it, you know, no matter what level you want, you're at right now, so you can easily slot them into an existing campaign. That is something that's early blue skying. I'm really enjoying this product, so, you know, if this is a success, I want to build on this. I really enjoy also our condition cards have been a success, so that more cards to support play I think are fun. I love handouts. I love cards. I love watching the player go, oh, crap, when they read what you just gave
them. Oh, yeah, I agree.
And more of that, more new classes, sure. If the demand is there, we will be there.
Excellent. Well, that's all the questions we had. Do you guys have any other ones?
Search for us on Kickstarter. It's The Overworld and Beyond.
And we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
And excellent. And it's going to run
May 1st to 31st, though, all of May.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's I've been listening to your podcast for a long time. I'm so glad you're back. So it's really fun to be on this side.
Hopefully we'll be able to get you back on and maybe talk some. We have some plans for 13th Age design episodes this summer or later this year. And if you guys are interested, we'd love to have you both back on to kind of discuss your process.
Definitely. I love talking about 13th Age design, perhaps a bit too much, according to my wife.
I think she talks to my wife. I don't know.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time out in the middle of the day to come on the show. And, you know, we wish you the best. And I know you can count on at least some of us, if not all of us, back in the Kickstarter.
All right.
Mark's wife has hold on, has placed a hold on Kickstarter. My wife hasn't become savvy to that yet. So.
Yeah. I ruined it with Modiphius doing their Fallout game. I spent way too much money on that.
Well, we have all sorts of backer level.
Well, guys, thank you. Any other final comments for us? Like,
really enjoyed being on. I really enjoyed being on.
Oh, yeah. Glad to have you back. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. This is great. You know, I was preparing for this, so I haven't got a chance to hear the one you just dropped about the GM Shield. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go listen to that now. I just can't get enough of your voice.
Oh, thanks. Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.